How are we doing today? Hey, you awake? All right, good. I'm awake. I'm feeling good. For those who don't know, my son is finally here. He came in a whopping 7 pounds, 5 ounces. 19 inches long. He is strong. He is healthy. My wife is incredible. Moms, you are awesome, okay? I knew that, like, childbirth was a big deal. Now I know. I mean, goodness. It was quite an ordeal. We were in the hospital a total of 5 days. In those 5 days, I probably slept like 4 hours. So I really know what being tired is now. It was probably the most stressful and difficult situation I've ever been in my life. But when he came out, it was all good. And I'm very grateful for you guys' prayers. I'm very grateful for some people who've been bringing food. Amen. That's been a huge help. You know, it's just an incredible thing to see a new life in this world. And of course, as a proud dad, I got some pictures. Because my son is a stud. You see that guy? I mean, look at him. There's mom. They're looking great. Here he is. He already knows he's on the east side, you know? I don't know how he knew, but somehow, someone told him, I guess. He's a smart guy. He's just adorable. So, you know, I've been learning a lot. And God has been revealing so many things to me the weeks coming up to this, and especially now that my son is here. You know, the last couple of days, it's just been so eye-opening. And I want to share with you guys what I've been learning and what God has been revealing to me and what I've been studying out. But I realize that the decisions that I make not only affect me, but they affect my family. They affect my friends. They affect my loved ones, and they can even affect strangers. The effects can be far-reaching, and they can either be good or they can be bad. My son will know God. He will know God because of Roxanne and I. And in turn, his children will know God. The decisions that you and I make today will go on for generations. And the title of my lesson today is From Generation to Generation. Go ahead and open it up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is an incredible passage for parents that God is very specific and he's very direct in what he wants us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of our fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk around along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them around your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your household and on your gates." Skip over to verse 20. "In the future, when your son asks you, What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if the Lord our God, and if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. You see what God is saying here? This is his plan for his people to stay faithful from generation to generation. His plan is simple. Talk to your kids. Teach your kids about me. Not Kingdom Kids. Praise God for Kingdom Kids. Not the middle school ministry. Not the teen ministry, but us as parents. It is our duty to teach them. And it's smart, if you think about it, if we just rely on Sunday service as our spiritual food, we're going to be in a rough place, right? And it's the same with our kids. If we're just like, man, let's hold them off until midweek and hold them off till Sunday, that they're poor nutrition-wise spiritually. It is not a good plan. God made it simple. It is for us to do. And thank God that he helps us, right? He's very specific in these instructions, and he lays it out clear. He says, impress my teachings on them. And I was like, impress, what does that mean? It means to teach. The Hebrew word here is shanan. S-H-A-N-A-N, shanan. It means to sharpen, to hone, or to whet. And so I had to look up that some more. I'm like, what is wet? So when a knife is sharpened, there's little protrusions that happen on the end, naturally, because metal is being shaved away. And because of the protrusions, the edge is rough, and it's not effective at cutting. And if it does cut, it's not going to be very accurate, and it's not going to be straight. So these protrusions must be crushed upon a wet stone. So you take the knife back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until those protrusions are crushed away and you have a polished, sharp edge that is effective at its tool. In the same way, you and I have rough edges, right? We got some rough edges that need to be crushed and smoothed and stoned out. Amen? You know, believe it or not, I have some rough edges. I know, it's crazy. I could sit up here and tell you story after story of me being corrected and me being rebuked, but I'll just share one for time's sake. You know, before Roxanne got pregnant, I was really having a hard time with the idea of having a kid. And the reason for that, I was just like, all my imperfection, all my flaws are going to be pushed on my kid. And that is so unfair. They're not like, hey, can I take your imperfections? I'd like some. As kids, we imitate our parents, whether they teach us or not. That's the reality. And so I was just like, how can I have a son when I have so much to work on myself? And I had to be called out on my thinking. I had to be called out that the truth is God is in control. And yeah, we have our flaws and we have our mistakes. But as long as we're with God, God will work it out. When he shows us, and it's going to happen, and I'm really looking forward to it. When I see my sin in my face because it's in my son, I get to face that. I get to change it. I get to go on that stone and smooth those things out. You see, my flaw was that I was focused on myself rather than focused on God. And that's what Satan does. Satan wants us to focus on ourselves. He wants us to think about ourselves and to look at ourselves rather than look at God. So instead, I said, God will sustain all things. God will do it. God will raise my son. And all I need to do is pray on a daily basis for him, pray for my family, pray for my marriage, and pray about my life. And I'm so grateful for the instructions, for the help that I've gotten, the sharpening that I've been receiving over time. Because we all need it. And especially now as a parent, you guys will teach me how to raise my son. Because you are doing it. I've never been here before. He's 6 years old. I don't know what it's like to have a 7 day old. I mean, It's been a long 6 days. I don't know what it's like to have a 6 year old, but you guys do. And I will happily accept your instruction and your training and your stoning upon me. So that I can be useful, you know, the whetstone. So that I can be useful and I can be effective in my parenting. But the question is, are you doing this with your kids? Are you teaching them? Are you impressing them? Are you smoothing them on the stone, which is God's word in prayer? If you don't have kids, if you're single or married without kids, are you doing this with your friends? You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is God's plan for it to go from generation to generation. Teach people, impress it upon them, hone them, sharpen them. That will get it from generation to generation. The next thing he says, when you wake up and when you lay down, when you're out, when you're in the home, talk about me. Talk about my word all day, every day, all the time. And this really should be simple if God is our lives. Amen? Because if God is our lives, we can't help but talk about him. We can't help but share with our kids, with our friends, with our family, what we're learning, what God has been doing, what he's been revealing in us, how he's been changing us. Amen. It is just natural. You know, my son, I don't think he understands what I'm saying to him, but that's not stopping me from talking to him. It doesn't stop any of you from talking to little children, little infants. We all talk to them. And it's the same way. With God's word, he's not going to understand what I'm saying, but that's okay. It's such an incredible thing that I get to do now. Being in the hospital is a little rough because they're like, you're not allowed to leave the room unless he's in the bassinet thing, and you have to walk around. I'm like, I don't want to walk around with him in a tub. I want to hold my son. And so we have like this Moby wrap. He like wraps up on my chest, and I've been going on prayer walks with my son, and it's just been so awesome. I know he doesn't understand what I'm saying, but it doesn't matter. I'm praying for my son. I'm praying with my son. And we're just going on walks and having that spiritual time together. It's a great thing, and it's something that I've been looking forward to for a long time. You know, a quick and easy way to see where your heart is to evaluate what dominates your mind throughout your day. What dominates your thinking? If it isn't God, then I say you need to question your heart and you need to evaluate your heart. It's a very simple way to test it. So how often are you going to God? How much do you read and rely on his word? You know, let's get real. This is not a game. There is an enemy out there and he works very slowly. He creeps in there. And before you know it, it grows into this large thing. So we must be real with ourselves. We must evaluate where we are. And God says we must talk about him all the time. That is God's plan for it to go from generation to generation. And here's the encouraging part. In verse 20, he says, when we do these things, our kids will ask us. He says, they'll ask you, why? What is the reason for all this stuff? And God, I believe what God is saying to us is, share your faith with your kids. Tell them your conversion story. I mean, that was the Israelites' conversion story, right? We were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered us out of Egypt, and he gave us this land. There were cities. We didn't even have to build cities. There was stuff in the homes that we didn't even have to give. There was gardens already planted. God set it all up for us.
And we can say the same thing with our kids. This is what my life was like. Now this is what God has done for me. This is who our God is. You know, campus and singles, I implore you, share your faith with these kids. Share your faith with the teens and middle schoolers. Do it. They need it. They need to hear. Why do you love God? Why do you follow Him? What is this faith thing? Why did you give up all this stuff? They need to hear it from more than just their parents. Because believe me, I'm going to be tapping shoulders when my son gets older. And be like, can you talk with him? Can you share with him? Can you talk to him? Can you hang out with him? It's very important. And what a special opportunity that we have to teach younger kids. Not to just teach our own generation, but to teach the generation after us. And be like, man, this thing gets to spread beyond ourselves. God's instructions are very clear here. Amen. And there's so many great examples of men and women in this very room who do this. And I thank you for that. I need that. And there are countless examples in the scriptures of men and women who did this, who passed their knowledge and the commandments of God from one generation to the next, and so on and so forth. But there's also examples of those who didn't pass it on to the next generation. And that generation did evil in the eyes of God. But when it comes to fathers, there's one man who immediately comes to my mind. Abraham. Abraham immediately comes to mind, and I'm sure many of you as well. So let's go to Genesis chapter 21. And we're going to look at a man, even though this was before Deuteronomy was written, he lived this out before God even commanded it. Genesis chapter 21. So we've read this many times. It's been preached many times. But we're talking about from one generation to the next, how it has a huge effect, the decisions that we make, the convictions that we stand on. Genesis chapter 21, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham. In his old age, at the very time God had promised him, Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." Go over to chapter 22, starting in verse 1. It says, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the knife, carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and wood are here,' Isaac said. 'But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham!' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Now, this is an incredible story. And we've all heard it many times before. And Abraham, who has been waiting for decades for his son. I mean, imagine that. God says, "Hey, don't worry, you're going to have a son." And you're like, okay, 1 year passes. You're like, all right. Then 5 years. You're like, okay, what's going on? 10 years. 20 years, then 25 years later. I mean, it's just an incredible thing. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born to him. 100, that's old. I'm sure he was pretty tired, right? And then after this long time, God says, "Go sacrifice your son." And not only did he say, "Go sacrifice him," but he said, "Go take a 3-day journey with your son as you're going to go sacrifice him." I mean, talk about difficult. I mean, what was Abraham and Isaac talking about? Were they even talking? Or was Abraham telling Isaac about how faithful God was? Man, God told me to leave and go. He didn't tell me where to go, and so I went. And he's been faithful, and he's protected us, and he's been there. Those are the kind of questions I have. What was that like to walk with your son, knowing that at the end of this journey, you will sacrifice him? So difficult. But we see that he trusted God. He did it. He did not withhold from God. Abraham obeyed, and God provided. I believe Isaac learned 3 major lessons from this time in his life. I think he learned 3 major lessons that his dad passed on to him, which Isaac passed on to his sons. Number one, to trust in God. Abraham told Isaac that God would provide the lamb. Abraham had full assurance of this. I could not imagine having a 3-day journey knowing at the end of it I would have to kill my son. I have to take up the knife and kill my son. We know from Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 17 through 19, that Abraham reasoned with God that God would raise Isaac from the son. So Abraham was going to do it, because he said, if I kill my son, God will surely raise him from the dead. He had no doubt that his son would live. The faith and trust that he had in God was passed on to his son. And in the next verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to the future. I mean, Isaac told and proclaimed to Jacob what would happen. Through you, will God's people, there will be more numerous than the stars in the sky, more numerous than the sand on the seashore. He knew that God would bless him. It took faith for a blind man to say that. This faith that his father had, Isaac had. And he passed on to his sons. We know that through his son comes Jacob, and through that are the 12 tribes of Israel. Amazing, amazing faith. The second thing that he learned was to obey God no matter how difficult. Obey God no matter how difficult. You notice in this story, there's no fight with Isaac. Isaac doesn't fight it. It's an incredible thing to think about. Abraham didn't have to strike his son. He didn't have to knock him out. He didn't have to force him onto the wood. Isaac learned from his father that you obey God. I mean, Isaac's dad left his home to live in a tent. Go out into the desert and live in a tent. And that's exactly what he did. He learned it from his dad. And this paid dividends in Isaac's life and the life of his sons and so on and so forth. The third lesson that he learned is God comes through on his promises. God comes through on his promises. God provided on the mountain, and he provided time and time again in Isaac's life and the life of his kids. From generation to generation, God was there. It was through Isaac that Jacob was born. And from there, the 12 tribes of Israel. Isaac learned from his father that God provides. In Genesis chapter 24, we'll read this, starting in verse 63. Genesis 24, verse 63. It says, he, as in Isaac, went out to the field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is the man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So he became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. When you want God to provide for you, a wife is a very good thing for him to provide. Amen? And God provided an incredible wife. I mean, this is like a fairy tale, right? Isaac is walking out in the field just meditating life and its meaning. And he locks eyes with his future wife. And she locks eyes with him, and it's like instant love. It's just an amazing story. And they have this incredible marriage and obviously have incredible kids and the best 12 grandkids. But it's just an amazing thing that God provided time and time again. And Isaac taught his sons because his father taught him. You see, it went from generation to generation. But the reality is that you don't have to be married for any of this stuff to apply to you. You know, single moms, I am super impressed by you. You rock. Stay in there. Stay connected with your kids. Keep fighting. Keep teaching. Keep looking to God for strength and help. You know, single people, you can pass on God's word and his teaching from generation to generation. Think about all those single people who affect us to this day. To this day, their teaching still affect us, still have a long, a lasting effect on our lives. Thank you for those who serve in Kingdom Kids. You're having a great effect on our kids' lives. It's an awesome thing that you get to be a part of. God's plan is for us to spread not only the word among our generation, but the next generation. That is his plan, so that it will go well with the next generation. We're going to look at one more passage here in Genesis 24. This is where we'll close out. Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 1. It says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife from my son Isaac. You know, I wanted to look at this because I thought it was very interesting. Here's Isaac, old enough to get married, and his father is still involved with his son's life. Abraham did not sit idly by and be like, you know what? He'll make the right decision. He said, no. He needs to go back to my people because he cannot marry a Canaanite woman. Abraham was involved in his son's life. I believe that we need to imitate this. We need to stay involved, stay engaged with our kids, no matter the age, no matter where they live, no matter how old they are. And not to just sit idly by and hope for the best. Look how it turned out for Isaac. Isaac has an incredible life. Isaac has incredible kids, has incredible and lots and lots and lots of grandkids, right? And it works out. And God's teachings went on from generation to generation. You know, as you can tell, I'm fired up to be a dad. You know, just watching my son grow up over these last couple days has been awesome. It's awesome. He's already gained like a pound. His eye color is starting to change. You know, I'm looking forward to the next months and years and decades. But I cannot wait to teach my son how God answers prayers. I can't wait to teach him how to pray. I want to show my son what faith is. I want to help my son do his first lesson. You know, I want to be there and show him and teach him how to love a woman and how to be a man. I want my boy to love God far more than I do. And God gives me the instructions. God gives us the instructions. I will do what it takes. I will pray for him every day, and I will follow God's word. And my prayer is that none of my descendants will be missing from heaven. You know, God's plan is that it's from generation to generation. Amen. Thank you. Love you guys.
What an incredible morning of worship. Are you guys fired up? Let's give Stephen another hand. He did an awesome job bringing the Word of God. We've learned a lot this morning. We've learned that God wants our full attention from Alan. We've learned during communion that he wants our forgiveness. He wants us to forgive others. And it's kind of funny that Stephen preached out of one of my favorite chapters of the book. Even before I was a disciple, every night, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one, from Deuteronomy. Every night I used to say that even before I was a disciple. And it is awesome that he is one with us, that we can come to him, that we can have such impact on generation to generation. And whether we have children or whether we don't have children, we have impact. Are we, like Richard told us last week, are we positioning ourselves to have impact? What he said today did not just apply to us who have kids, because there are a lot of us in here who don't have kids. But what are we doing to position ourselves to follow what Deuteronomy 6 says? So let's position ourselves this week. Let's bring it up this week. And let's close out with prayer and have an awesome week for him, not for us. Dear Father God, it is amazing to be with you this morning. It is amazing, God, to have life, Father. There are people that did not wake up this morning, God. We are blessed to be alive this morning. We are blessed to have got to hear your word delivered powerfully through Alan, through Alvin, through Stephen, God. They are your vessels who you've used them this morning to bring us to a place that you've wanted us to be this morning, God. God, I pray that this week we will position ourselves. We will listen to, we will follow the things that we learned today, God. That this isn't just a Sunday thing, but it's an everyday, every hour thing that we do, God. And may our life shine before you, Father, and to others, God. May we be that shining light on the hill that Jerusalem was supposed to be, that Alan talked to us about today, God. We just pray, God, that we can be that shining light, Father, that we will not be looked at as hypocrites, but we will be looked at as those who follow you and worship you wholeheartedly in everything that we do, God. God, we just thank you for this week. We pray for our safety. We pray, God, that you'll put hedges around our families and our houses, God, that we pray for those that are in need of prayer, whoever they may be, Father. There are those of us in here going through things that most of us don't know about, Father. God, I just pray that whatever those things are, God, that we can get in there and help others, Father. Father, just please be with us as we go through our week and help us to pray for others and pray for those in charge, Father. We love you, God. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are dismissed.